Hey, if you have your Bible with you, and I hope that one way or the other you always do, would you turn to 1 Chronicles 14? We'll also be in Mark chapter 2 as we continue in our series, Blueprint for Breakthrough. And more than just a catchy sermon series title or a slogan, it's actually what God desires to do in our life. And according to 1 Chronicles 14, it's actually part of who he is to us as the people of God. And so we read about this in the life of David in chapter 14, verse 8 of 1 Chronicles. And it says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. So they heard about the destiny, about the calling, about the appointment of God in David's life. And they said, we're going to go and we're going to oppose. We're going to resist. We're going to attack. And so I've encouraged you throughout the series that many times the opposition that you face in your life, in your marriage, in your faith, in your family is because of an awareness of a purpose, a destiny that you are yet to step into that God has upon your life. And so it says the Philistines made this raid coming after David to try to separate him, to disconnect him from his destiny. And it says, verse 10, David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So David inquired of the Lord, and I've encouraged you, what is it that you are up against? Where is it in your life that you have opposition, obstacles, that maybe you are endeavoring to accomplish with your own intellect, your own resources, your own strength? And in this day, I'm challenging you, would you inquire of God? Here's what that looks like. God, I need you. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Would you invite him into your circumstances? How many times do we toil and we strive and we struggle? And if we were honest with ourselves, it's because we're trying to figure it out or we're trying to fix it with our own hands, our own strength. And we oftentimes miss the opportunity and the invitation to invite God into our circumstances. So come on, man of God, woman of God, in this day, in this hour, would you not miss the opportunity to call upon the Lord? To inquire him, young people, in your considerations, your decisions, all the things that lie before you. Where do I go to school? What do I pursue? Who do I date? Who do I marry? Inquire of the Lord. Invite him into your seasons. Invite him into your situations and your circumstances. And so David has this word, and it says that he went up to Baal-perazim, verse 11, and David defeated the Philistines there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand. And so in this season, I believe that more than just a sermon series, this is a moment in time. As we turned the calendar and went into 2026, I had a sense in my heart, I'm telling you, a conviction, a belief deep in my heart that this was a moment in time, not just pastoral optimism, where God desires to do some breakthroughs in your life. That God desires to answer some prayers, that God has seen and heard the way that you've petitioned him, that you've prayed, that you've fasted, that you've hoped, that you've believed. And I'm telling you, I believe it, that this is a moment in time where God desires to bring about some breakthroughs. And it says that David said, by my hand, God has delivered a breakthrough. And it says they called that place Baal-perazim, which literally translated means the Lord of breakthroughs. And so this is who God is. He desires to bring about breakthroughs in our life. It says, by David's hand. And I've encouraged us that God is still in the business of divine partnership. That there are some things that, man of God, he's called you to put your hands to, the only you could do. Daughter of the Lord, there's some things that he has called you to put your hands to, the only you are uniquely positioned to steward, to do. But then ultimately, we got to realize and recognize there's only so much that we could do in our own strength. It's got to be God showing up on the battlefield of life, showing up in the boardroom, showing up in our marriages, in our families, in this church to be who he is and to bring about what he wants to bring about. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. So will you receive that in this season? I mean, really, will someone grab a hold of this, that there's something you've been hoping for, praying for, longing for, believing for, praying for, fasting for, that this would be a moment of time? Some of it maybe will happen real soon. Some of it, you're just one day closer to that breakthrough, but I believe it, and I'm encouraging you to receive it. So let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to prepare our hearts, to be postured, to be prepared, to be positioned, to do our part, to put our hands to the things that only we could do so that God can do what only he could do. To defeat our enemies, to bring about breakthrough. And Lord, we thank you for that fresh faith, Lord. Someone who's here today, and maybe that just seems, Lord, like their ship has sailed, it's too late, it's too far gone, Lord. Their faith is waning. Lord, I pray that this moment in time, you would stir fresh faith, God, in the hearts of your people, Lord, to once again believe, Lord, that you are still the Lord of breakthroughs. Lord, I pray that anyone who's here today and maybe they stepped out and they tried that, Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that you would bring healing to that place in their heart where there was a wound, where there was a rejection, God, and they would once again, Lord, step into, Lord, the assignment, the purpose, the destiny, the plan that you have for them. It's a good future. It's a hope-filled future for you, according to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. And Lord, I thank you that you would use this moment, use this message, as only you could do, Lord, to uniquely and specifically speak to the heart of every man, every woman, every marriage, every family, every young adult in this room and those joining us online. We thank you in advance for what you desire to do in our midst and in our hearts. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. So now turn to Mark chapter 2, and I want to share with you from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And this, once again, this opportunity or this example, rather, of a moment in time where there are people who are willing to do their part, who are willing to take steps of faith, who are willing to position themselves in the place so that God can do what only he could do, bring about the healing, the freedom, the victory, the breakthrough. And so we read about this in verse 1 of Mark chapter 2, where it says, again, he, speaking of Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, there we see that language, they let him down, or they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So it's a story about a paralyzed man, paralyzed in the physical sense, but maybe you can relate today because you're stuck or you're stagnant in some area of your life. It's inevitably true that almost in every season of life, there's some places where we're moving forward. There's some places where we're making progress. And there's some places where if we were honest with ourselves, maybe we're stuck or stagnant or complacent in our spiritual life. And through this series, I've been encouraging with this, that God is in your stops and he is in your steps. And so it's fine, it's legitimate, it's allowable. God allows us to take a stop, catch our breath, kind of reorient ourselves. But I've encouraged us that we have to be listening for that moment in time where once we've stopped and kind of gathered ourselves, collected ourselves, caught our breath, that there's some steps that God is gonna call us to take, that there's some progress that God is gonna call us to make, that there's a closer relationship, there's a different version of you, man of God, that's on the other side of saying yes to some things that God is inviting you to that only God has seen and you are yet to meet. And so he's in your stops, but he's also in your steps. And there's a life 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now that's going to look a certain way based on the decisions you make today. A few months ago, they started this trend. They were showing pictures on social media from 2016. Anyone see that or take part in it? And I'm a little late to the party, but I thought I would show you a few pictures from 2016. And so here's 2016. That's me. There's Julie Hammer right there. And that's in a leadership meeting, one of the early leadership meetings that we had right there in that fellowship hall that's since been renovated. And they reached out. They said, will you come and be our pastor? And I said, let me pray about it. They said, we have a fountain that flows chocolate at our leadership meetings. I said, I'm in. Next, I think we have Mr. Keith Noe, the man, the myth, the legend. There he sits right back there. Give some honor where honor is due to Mr. Noe back there. Thank you for your service in law enforcement over the years, Mr. Noe. And right there, Mr. Noe and I are serving. That is our first annual Thanksgiving outreach with just a handful of bags that we took out and blessed people in our community. And one of the values of our church is dream big and start small. And that's the start small of a dream big in this last year, because you gave, because you served, because you went out into our community. What started small this last Thanksgiving, over 1,300 people were reached with a meal and a message. Right, there's the Hammer family, and that's the Thanksgiving meal that we used to have after the Thanksgiving outreach. We've outgrown it. It was just impossible to have it here at the church. And there you can see that's the kids' hall that's right out here before we renovated it, before we built that secure kids check-in station. And moving on here, there's some OG worship guys from 2016. There's Cage Kiefer, Chet Kiefer, myself. That's our Ava girl right there, believe it or not, in the little blue sweater. And a good friend named John right there. That's this platform before it was renovated. There's Easter of 2016. That's our family before Evan, the miracle baby of Evan. And here's, lastly but not least, there's our family after Evan. And you don't just meet Evan, you experience and encounter Evan. And Aaron had come home for the holidays, so he's a freshman off at university. And so there's a few pics from 2016, there's present day, and here's the point, is that your life is gonna look a certain way 10 years from now. And it's being determined by the decisions you're making today. Can I encourage you with something? Don't blink. The Bible says, teach me to number my days. The Bible says, life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Don't blink. Don't miss the opportunity to treasure the people and the moments and the memories that God is allowing you to make today. I think it was a country artist, he might have well have been a theologian, who said it this way, it's pretty profound. You're living today in the good old days that someday you'll look back and wish you could go back to. So seize the moment and don't miss the opportunity to appreciate the people that God has put in your life and the invitation, the moments, the opportunities to make the memories with people that God has put in your life. And 10 years from now, your life is gonna, there's only really three outcomes that are possible. You'll either be closer to God, you will have drifted from your relationship with God and the sense of purpose that he has for your life, or you'll be stuck just the same you are today. And there's a wide range of how that could look within those three outcomes, but ultimately, there's only three places that you'll find yourself. And as for me, I don't know about you, but the only one that's really acceptable is to be closer to Jesus. Closer to Jesus. Experiencing his breakthroughs, experiencing what he has for us. And it's what these men recognized, these four friends that were willing to carry this paralytic. They realized, they heard Jesus is in the house. And our friend, he's been this way for many, many years. I don't know what happened to him to cause him to be in that condition physically. That speaks to us about how we can find ourselves spiritually stuck or stagnant, not moving forward, not advancing the purposes of God. But they said, we have heard that Jesus is in the house. And it's what God is calling us to in this season, to take Jesus home with you, to have Jesus in our hearts and in our homes, more of him. And what's that look like for you? To once again, in a new way, a fresh way, a more determined, a dedicated way, to begin to invite Jesus into your home, to begin to pray and gather as a family, to pray with your spouse, to pray with your kids as you gather for dinners or breakfast or whatever that looks like, to begin to take your spouse by the hand in a new way or a fresh way, a redetermined way, and begin to invite Jesus, his presence and his power into your marriage and into your home. What's it look like for you? Those of you that still have those little ones at home, to lay hands on them at night and to pray and prophesy the promises and purposes of God, the goodness of God over them, because God is inviting us in this season to invite Jesus into our homes. Would you take him home with you today? And he's inviting us to welcome him into this church. More than hype, more than programs, there's some things we could do to play our part, to put our hands to some things. But I'm grateful that the thing that is going to bring about continued revival and sustained revival in Lawrence and in Topeka and Kansas City and all around the world is going to be people encountering the person and the presence and the power of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God that transforms people. They heard that Jesus was in the house. And it says that they began that journey, but they could not come near to him because of the crowd. And can I just encourage you today? Today's a day of decision. You're gonna have to make a decision. Am I gonna go for God? Am I gonna live for God? Am I gonna serve Jesus? Or am I gonna get caught up in the crowd and the culture of the day? And you're gonna have to decide, am I willing to go against the grain? Am I willing to go against the flow? Am I willing to swim upstream? Because going with the flow and swimming with the stream in today's culture will not get you closer to God. You'll always find yourself further from God and disconnected from his purposes and his destiny for your life. And today's a day of decision. Will you make the decision? Will you declare? Will you decide like Joshua did in chapter 24, where he said, if you want to serve the gods of your ancestors, if you want to serve the gods of present tense culture, he said, that's fine. You could do it. He said, but as for me and as for my house, we will serve the Lord. They could not come near because of the crowd. Are your closest friends today more connected with your history or your destiny? And thankfully, this paralytic, this paralyzed one, he had at least four friends who were committed to, I'm getting you to your destiny. And the only way that you're gonna fully find the destiny that you have is getting into the presence of God. And so we need these kind of friends in our lives, and we need to be these kind of friends in our life. When I'm stuck, you carry me. When you're stuck, come on, I carry you. It's what I'm seeking the Lord for every time I have the opportunity during the week to get into God's word and say, Lord, what are you speaking? I want to come and I want to speak something that causes you, that calls you, that convicts you, that challenges you, that charges you to get closer to Jesus, to get closer to his purposes for your life. So we need these kind of friends in our lives. We need these kind of people in our lives. This is why we have life groups and invite you, men and women and couples, to get with other Christians and encourage each other, exhort each other, help each other, serve one another. Come and be a part of a serve team. Don't just go to church, build the church, be a part of the church. We need these people in our lives, and we are called to be these people in the lives of others. We need some people that don't talk behind our backs, but they pray for us behind our backs. What's that look like? You don't even know, but I'm praying for you. And I wrote that down this week, and it just resounded in my spirit that there's a message within the message, that we need to commit ourselves to be a people that will embrace Ephesians 4:29 and let no unwholesome words proceed from our mouths. But watch what it says, verse 29. Put it up there for them. It says, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. In other words, even some weaknesses or maybe some vulnerabilities that they might have. Because can I just tell you? I mean, we're all imperfect people serving a perfect God together. And he says, even when people have needs, weaknesses, fragile places, exposed places, he says, let only things that strengthen, edify, and equip people in your life, that it may benefit those. And so, can I encourage you though? The struggle is real, right? And we have a tendency to just fall into this trap. That one of the ways that the Word of God describes the enemy of your soul is the accuser of the brethren. And that's why the Bible says that there's six things that God hates. There's seven that are abomination to him. And one of those is someone that stirs up trouble and strife amongst the brethren, someone that gives a false report. But the struggle is real, right? Because Proverbs 18, verse 8 says that words of gossip are like choice morsels. They're like dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. In other words, it tastes good, it feels good sometimes to kind of get swept up in a conversation about someone behind their back, right? And can I encourage you, though? The Bible has a lot to say about this. Titus 3, verse 2 says, speak evil of no one. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says that gossip separates the best of friends. Proverbs 26, 20, though, says fire goes out without wood. Quarrels disappear when gossip stops. So let me encourage you that before you speak, would you think? And I've got an acronym for think, T-H-I-N-K. Number one, ask yourself, T, is this true? Is this verifiable? Is this accurate? And if it doesn't pass that test, it's a non-starter that you shouldn't allow yourself to express it or speculate about what someone maybe has gone through or what they're going through or what they're up against. Number one, is it true? But how many know that just because something's true doesn't mean it needs to be said? Which leads us to H. Is this helpful? Is this helpful? If I allow myself to get into this conversation about that person behind their back, is this helpful? Am I helping things? Another H could be honoring. Is this honoring of that person and their situation or their season or their circumstance? I, is this important? N, is this necessary to be said at this time? And K, is this kind? In other words, would I say it if they were standing right here in front of my face? And would I say it this way if they were standing right here in front of my face? So before we speak, can we think? Is this true? Is this helpful? Is it honoring? Is it important? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And let's be the kind of friends that don't talk about people behind their backs, but we pray for them behind their backs. Man, that's a good commitment, right? I mean, really, church, come on, can we? I feel like that's landing in someone's heart. And maybe it's disarming a tendency or maybe even a generational iniquity to kind of get swept up and caught up in gossip or critical conversations about people behind their backs. And today, it's a fresh day and a new season and an opportunity to repent of that and say, God, I'm no longer going to not only do that, I'm not only not going to do that, I'm going to begin to pray and intercede. And when I talk, I'm going to encourage and exhort. I'm not going to let anything unwholesome come out of my mouth, but only what strengthens, edifies, and equips people in my life. Someone say amen. So we need those kind of friends. We need to be those kind of friends. And they were carrying this paralytic, getting him in the presence of God. They knew that the only thing that was going to change him or transform him was an encounter with Jesus himself. But when they got to the door that they thought they were going to go through, they realized the door was closed. It was blocked. There was opposition. There were hindrances. What they thought was going to look one way was going to go a different way. And can I encourage you with something today? I wonder how many of us would have allowed, in spite of our good efforts and endeavors to pick him up and to carry him there, when we got to that place of opposition where we ran into the crowd, where we saw a door that we thought was going to be opened and it was closed, how many of us would have given up and gone home? How many of us have allowed opposition or adversity or disappointments or delays to cause us to shrink back from pursuing the things that God has put in our heart to pursue? And through this series, I've been encouraging you with a powerful verse from Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, where it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving.'" So David inquired of the Lord. We need to pray. We need to plan. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to pray some more. But then there's a moment in time where God is going to say, get up and get moving and persevere. Persevere. You need to persevere to the things that God has for you. They knew that the thing that they had to get to was Jesus, and they could not settle in the proximity of Jesus. And some of us do that, right? We get just close enough, we get just enough God that we're good, but we fail to follow through on getting to the presence of the only one who can fully heal us, deliver us, redeem us, restore us, rescue us, and renew us. And they said, we can't stop short. We can hear the message going on the other side of these walls and that door, but we understand that we can't settle for proximity to Jesus. Did you know it's true? You could bring your problem to church and not bring it to Jesus. You could bring your problem to church for a long time and not really bring it to the presence of Jesus. And I'm grateful that this man had some friends who said, we can't settle. We can't stop in the proximity. We know that the only way that our friend is going to discover and experience and enjoy this life of active faith, the things that God has called him to do and be and become with his life, is to get in the presence of Jesus. Did you know the only way you're ever going to discover your true worth and value is by getting in the presence of Jesus? This water bottle right here happens to say Rev City Church on it. They put that label on it just to kind of make it look nicer for you guys, I guess. But this water bottle right here has a different value that's ascribed to it based on where you purchase it. And you know it's true, right? Across the way over here at Walmart, my family calls it Small Mart. Big Mart's across town on Iowa. Over here at Small Mart, how much does this bottle of water cost? About a dollar, right? Go across the way, across the corner right here, and you go to Quick Shop, same bottle of water is gonna cost, what, about $2, right? Go to the airport. Same bottle of water, very same. It's gonna cost, what, about $4? That's highway robbery right there. Then get on the airplane and ask for the same bottle of water. What's it gonna be, like $5 or $6 right there? What's the point? Some of you have underestimated your value because you've allowed yourself to settle in some places that are speaking to and ascribing the value that you see for yourself. but you're worth more than you realize. And your true worth, your true value is only gonna be discovered when you get in the presence of Jesus. I can't move on from that. Some of you are worth more than you realize. And some of you have been hanging out in Walmart too long. How many know that's a funky adventure at certain times of the day, right? A mission field for Jesus right there. Some of you, you have a lot more worth, a lot more value than you realize. And you're only going to discover it in the presence of Jesus, and it's why I'm preaching to you today. And if you don't have the faith to believe it or receive it for yourself, would you allow me to be one of the four that are willing to come, and we'll pick you up, and we will carry you, and we will take you to the presence of Jesus so that you could get healed of whatever has held you back and hindered you, paralyzed you from doing, from being, from becoming everything that God has called you to do, be and become as a man of God. As a woman of God, as a daughter of the King. I'm grateful that he had some friends who were willing to persevere through the crowd, through the closed door. And we don't talk about this enough, the need to be a persevering people of faith. And we don't do anyone any favors when we don't help people to understand that when you give your life to Christ, eternity is settled, and that's good news because eternity is a long time. But Jesus said, you'll still have troubles, you'll still have adversity, you'll still have trials in this world. And so we don't do anyone any favors not helping people to understand. If you want to get to, if you want to experience, if you want to see the promised land, if you want to have the godly marriage, if you want to raise the godly kids, if you want to build the business that prospers, if you want to see God move in your life, you're going to have to persevere through some opposition. Not just when you serve the Lord, but oftentimes because you're serving God. Because the enemy, when he sees that you're gonna begin to say yes to Jesus and his plans, his purposes for your life, that's when you have a target on your back. I've heard it said before, the birthmark of a believer is a target on your back, where the enemy's gonna come and try to hold you back and hinder you, discourage you, disappoint you, disconnect you from the destiny and the purpose that you have and that is found in the presence of God. I'm grateful that this man had some friends who were willing to persevere. And I'm telling you today, if you're gonna get there, you're gonna have to persevere. If only we had a scripture for this, right? Well, Hebrews 10, verse 36, you need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Romans 2, 7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Wait a minute, Pastor T, I thought that we only experienced eternal life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We read about it today, or we sang about it earlier in the service. It's true. The only way to enter into it is the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. But then we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we're persisting. He says, you got to persist. And people who build great lives of faith, people who build godly marriages, people who do something big for God, are people who do consistently what others do occasionally. And they're people who will persevere through the oppositions, through the challenges, through the closed doors. I'm grateful that they persevered to get that man who was stuck, who was stagnant, who was hindered from moving forward in his faith to the presence of God. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Who am I preaching to? That today you've grown weary even in doing some of the good things that God has called you to do. Keep persevering, keep loving, keep praying, keep serving, keep giving, keep forgiving, whatever it is God has called you to do, keep doing it with perseverance, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Luke 18, red letter words, Jesus says one day, he told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Someone say, always pray, and never give up. The story, verse 2, there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. So he's contrasting that this is a worldly person. If this is true about this guy, he's saying this is really true about your good and perfect God, your Father in heaven. And it says, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while. But finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Not a good time to elbow your wife, and I might have just kind of emphasized that a little too much. I might be in trouble after this. This woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. And the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them and quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? In Matthew 7, Jesus said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. There's this progression. And many of us give up and go home when we've asked and God hasn't answered. And he said, there's a progression. He said, you ask, and then if God doesn't come through, you seek. And he said, then you, if God doesn't come through after you've asked and you've sought, he says, then you begin to knock. You begin to knock. In the Greek, the original language, that word for ask is ateo, and it means earnest petition, fervent petition. It's a proactive word. It means activity, actively asking, not just lobbing up a little prayer and hoping that God comes through. That word for seek is the Greek word zeteo, and it means to actively, continuously search for an answer or an object. Knock is translated from the Greek word krauo, and it means a persistent, continual knocking upon a door until it is open. So many of us run into the first sign of opposition, a closed door, a disappointment, a season of delay, and we give up and we go home. You need to persevere. I'm grateful that this paralytic had a group of friends who were willing to persevere on his behalf. To ask, to seek, to knock, to not give up. There's a man, a mighty man of God, named George Mueller. And he kept a prayer journal, and within that prayer journal, he had 10,000 documented answered prayers. That means he prayed a lot. And when God answered prayers, he was mindful to write it down so he would remember. I think some of us would do better to write down and remember some of the things and the ways that God has come through in our life. Towards the end of his life, they came to George Mueller and they said, are there any unanswered prayers? And he said, yes, there's one. And they said, would you mind sharing it with us? And he said, yes, I've been praying for many years for the son of a close friend who is far from God that he would encounter Christ. And they said, well, do you think it'll come to pass? And he said, yes. And they said, how do you know? And he said, because I'm still praying it. I've been praying it for years. George Mueller died and passed away without the prayer being answered. But at his memorial service, there was a message and there was an altar call. And the very young man who George had prayed for many years, maybe decades, responded, gave his life to Christ. And George Mueller didn't see it with his earthly eyes, but I have a feeling that he had a heavenly perspective that perhaps made it even far more glorious to appreciate some of what you're praying for. You might never see with your earthly eyes, but I'm telling you, keep praying. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Persevere through the obstacles, through the opposition, through the closed doors. And these men, they carried him, they got to the crowd, they could have went home, they got to the locked door, they could have went home. But it says they climbed up on that house and they began to tear the very roof off of that place. And it says eventually they broke through. Can you imagine as they started to break through, maybe the dust from those clay tiles falling at the feet of Jesus as Jesus is preaching the word to them? And they lower that man into the scene. Can you just picture it? And it says Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the friends. And he said, your sins are forgiven you. I think if I was one of the four guys, I would have been like, does that mean he could walk home? Because that is not what we came for. But how many times are we asking God to put something in our hands And God is looking to do something in our hearts. And today, God is, he's knocking on your heart, man of God. He's chasing you down with his reckless, his unwavering, his unrelenting love. He's leaving the 99 to come after you. And you got all this list of things you need God to do in your life, and he's saying, would you just give me your heart? Would you just begin to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and living for me and serving me? And just watch how, according to Matthew 6, verse 33, all the things that you think you need, I'll bring it to pass in your life. The healing, the provision, the purpose, the promotion, whatever it is that we're presenting to God, say, God, if you would only do this, it would make me whole. And God says, no, it wouldn't. Not if I don't get your heart. And so today he's knocking after your heart. He's coming after your heart. And the question that you have to answer is, will you let him in? Because when he gets your heart, he gets it all. And the healing that you need, the place where you're stuck or stagnant, when Jesus gets your heart, the healing that you need, the provision that you need, it flows from his heart to your hands. Would you stand to your feet today? And as has become our custom, in this house, as you're standing to your feet, would you ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? I mean, really, man of God, would you really ask it? And then would you really turn your spiritual ears towards heaven and really listen to whatever it is that he desires to say or speak to you? Maybe for some of you, he's getting you unstuck today. Physically, you're fine, but spiritually, you're stuck, you're stagnant, you're paralyzed. Some of you today, he's redefining your sense of worth to God, to your family, to this church, to the broader body of Christ, to the kingdom of God. He's calling you to position yourself in his presence and to be found with a different crowd where your true sense of worth can be discovered, experienced, and enjoyed. He's calling some of you to say yes to his invitation to not just believe in him, but to serve him. And how many of you know there's a difference? Serve him, to love him, to give your entire life to him, not just your Sunday and Wednesday life. Just keep listening. Lord, thank you that you speak to your people, you strengthen your people. Thank you that you're the Lord of breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, for those places, those situations and seasons that people have been trusting you for a breakthrough. Let this be a moment in time, Lord, where there are testimonies, where there are miracles, cannot be explained away. We'll put our hands to the things you call us to put our hands to, Lord, but we can't do it in our own strength. We need you to show up and be the Lord of the breakthrough. Just keep listening to whatever it is the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and allow me the opportunity to invite people to receive the free gift of salvation. That's the language of the Bible. It's a free gift. Here's what that means. You can't earn it. You can never deserve it. And you don't get good to get God. God comes into the middle of our mistakes, our mess, our doubt, our fear, our sin. He leaves the 99. He comes towards us. And he encounters us while we're still in that condition, while we're far from God, while we're even enemies. And he rescues us. He cleanses us. He washes us. He redeems us and restores us by the power of his blood. So maybe that's you today. You need to receive that free gift. Or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you've drifted from a relationship with God. You once knew him, loved him, maybe even served him, but whatever happened in your life, got caught up with the wrong crowd like we talked about earlier. got caught up, preoccupied with the cares and concerns of that culture, this world. And today, if you're honest with yourself, you're far from God. If that's you, Jesus told another story, a parable, about someone like you when he told that parable of the prodigal son, the wayward one who came to his earthly father, said, "Give me what's mine," and he went and lived in the world. And like is inevitably true for any of us, myself included, who have tried to live that way, he came to the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. The Bible says that he came to his senses. Here's how that goes down in that story. He said, "What am I doing out here, living in the world?" And he said, "Maybe, just maybe, I can get up and go home, and maybe, just maybe, my father will welcome me back, even if just as a servant in his house." And it said, after he had come to his senses, he got up, he began that journey. And as Jesus tells the story, he says that the father saw that wayward one a long ways off. Why is that important? Because here's what it tells us. Even while we're still way out here, caught up in the mess of the world, that God is looking for, longing for, hoping for, anticipating that moment when we come to our senses and just take one step back towards his heart and his home. And the rest of the story is this: that father ran to him, embraced him, welcomed him, and restored him fully as a son or daughter. And so if that's you today, that's the posture of the father towards you today. Arms wide open, ready to receive you and restore you. So here's the step I want to ask you to take if you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, and it's right now. Don't delay. Lift your hand as high and as fast as you can towards heaven. You're responding not to a preacher, but to your heavenly Father. And this outstretched hand is only important because it's an outward sign of an inward work of our responding to the love of the Father, knocking on the door of our hearts, seeking us, leaving the 99 to come after us today. One more moment for anyone else to respond with these few who have already responded. One more moment to receive that free gift. One more moment to come to your senses, to come back home, to enter into that embrace of your heavenly Father, to welcome you back and restore you as a son or a daughter. If you raised your hand, you can lower it. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray a prayer. We're gonna ask you to pray it, but you're not gonna have to pray it alone. You're gonna hear the sound of this entire church family praying it with you as a sign of support for you and to you, and as a way to remind ourselves we never graduate from grace. Come on, let's pray this. Pray it with some fresh boldness today. Repeat after me. Say, "Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life, and I give you my trust, and because of Jesus," come on, say it loudly, "I'll never be the same," and then rejoice with all of heaven.